Jonah chapter 1. We'll read down through here quite a ways. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and thy billows compassed me about, and thy floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and by his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before into Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. As we look back through this passage, I want to see several things today. And the first thing in verse number 1 says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, It's God's word. God gave Jonah his word. He has given us his word. Now, he had spoke with Jonah, but that doesn't mean he spoke with everybody. Amen. He had a personal relationship with Jonah. He had a personal relationship through his word with Jonah. And that's what we have. We have his word, and we can have that personal relationship, not just kinship, not just salvation, but that personal walk, that personal relationship through God's word. And that's what Jonah had. And we'll see as we go down through these verses that it was a little deeper than we think it was, that relationship. It wasn't like Jonah was walking down the road and God says, Hey, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and he picked Jonah and says, Hey, Jonah, got something for you to do. Jonah had walked with God before and talked with God before and had a relationship with God. He had heard God's word before. You know, it's sad today that in this age, this church age, the end of the church age, a lot of people do not know God's word. A lot of born-again believers, they don't even know God has a word. They think he has words. They think he might have principles and precepts, but we have his word. And a lot of folks have his word, understand his word to be true and believe his word, but they don't really read his word. But the importance of God's word, Jonah would have never known what God expected of him without God's word. You see, a lot of people, we tend to think, and a lot of folks preach and teach, that we go by some kind of a feeling. We feel like God wants us to do that. We feel like God wants us to do this. I feel all kinds of things. Amen. Sometimes I feel sick and tired. Sometimes I feel angry. Sometimes I feel happy. Sin's pleasurable for a season. You can feel happy and be out of God's will for a short time. You can feel like you're going the right direction. And if you don't have God's word, you can keep going to your own demise and destruction by not listening to the word of God. But Jonah had God's word. We see God's word in verse 2. It says, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. We see God's will. You know what his will was? For him to do what God had told him to do. If there was somebody out of God's will, and he wanted to use Jonah to get them in God's will. You know it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? You know you're a Jonah, and I'm a Jonah. And God's word tells us there are people that are not in my will that I would like to see in my will. And his will is for all men to be saved. Say, well, God's will is always done. God's will is not always done. He doesn't will anybody to hell. Ultimately, he has victory and we win. We've already won in Christ. Ultimately, we know the end. But God's will is for all men to come to him and all men to call out to him and all men to go to heaven with him. And his will won't be totally fulfilled that way. But we have God's word. We understand God's will. Look at God's man in verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. See God's word, God's will, which was crystal clear. And then we see what God's man did. What did he do? He went out of God's will from the presence of the Lord. Was he God's man? But he was God's man out of God's will, right? I was talking to a fellow over in Dayton here a week ago or so, and he comes up and he says, me and Joshua over there looking at a car, Joshua's looking at one. He comes up and he goes, hey, man, he goes, y'all, Y'all looking at that car, you buy that car. Let me ask y'all, help me out. How about give me some gas money? Somebody stole my car. I got this car. Look, it's on empty. Well, first of all, I said, how you doing? And he used some expletive language I won't go into, but I said, you know what you need? And he said, what's that? I said, you need Jesus Christ. He said, oh, I got Jesus. I said, but does Jesus have you? Because a lot of times, we're not following him. He wants your heart. If he has your heart, he'll guide your lips. I could tell what was coming out of that man's lips. Jesus Christ does not have him as far as a daily walk. Amen? And that's what the difference is. The difference a lot of times between saved people is whether you're in God's will or out of God's will. But God's word, God's will, God's man, God went the wrong direction. Jonah to go one way, God's man went the wrong direction. Out from the presence of the Lord. And that's what happens. We get out of the presence of the Lord if we're not careful. Say, well, I'm walking with God. I'm saved. I'm his child. Well, all that's good preaching at another church, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you can break fellowship with God. You can't break kinship. The blood's always thick. The blood's always the kinship. But his word and your obedience is where the fellowship comes in. God's word, God's will, God's man. Look at verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. We see God's storm. You know that storm? We talked about this before in the book of Jonah. That storm was affecting everybody around Jonah. Were those men out of God's will? Probably. Were they out of God's will before Jonah got there? Yeah. The storm didn't happen because of those men. The storm happened because of Jonah. Matter of fact, if you think about what those guys were saying, they were saying, every man cry to your God. Any old God will do, just cry out. So that's not God's will. But they weren't in a storm until God's man got out. And that storm was affecting everybody else that was around them. I said that because I think we do forget, we need to be reminded once in a while that our lack of obedience is affecting a lot of different people. And most importantly, it affects the cause of Christ. If your testimony takes a shot, if your testimony, if you lose your testimony, it affects the cause of Jesus Christ. If your walk with Jesus Christ is being affected by sin or your lack of obedience, which is sin, if your walk is being affected, you're affecting other people around you, your ability to influence people to do right is gone if you're not doing right. Your ability to influence kids and grandkids and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, if you're out of God's will, that's part of that storm that's going on around. It's affecting other people. And God sent that storm. And 15 through 17. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So we've seen God's word, his will, his man, his storm. We see God's chastening. See, the storm and the chastening were two different things. The chastening was personal. The chastening was individual. The chastening was Jonah being trapped in the belly of that whale. And I believe what this book says, that he was in the belly of that big fish, that great fish, for 3 days and three nights. And I believe if God said Jonah swallowed the whale, he did it, amen. But the whale swallowed Jonah. He was in that whale for 3 days and three nights. And it was the chastening hand of God on his man that was out of his will. First of all, he causes all these problems for other people that were around him. And then God finally narrows it down and says, all right, Jonah, I'm going to deal directly with you. Isn't it interesting? While the whole storm was going around, Jonah was asleep. Everybody else is tossed to and fro. And Jonah's down inside the ship asleep. They had to go wake him up and tell him there's a storm. You know, you can be out of God's will and not realize the mess you're making sometimes. Amen. We can do that if we're not careful. But that chastening was individual. That chastening was a personal thing. And God deals with us personally. And I'll tell you, if you're not reading his book, you're getting a list on that account that's growing and growing and growing of things you're doing out of his will. The only way you keep that account short, the only way you get that account right, is by reading that book and letting him correct you as you go along, instead of waiting until you got a pile of things going on and him saying, all right, I'm going to send you to the belly of the whale for a while, amen. If Jonah would have woke up and said, all right, storm, I'm getting right with God, he would have never went to the belly of the whale. Amen? But he wasn't listening. He quit listening to God's word. And that's what will happen to us if we quit listening to God's word. It's not just the preaching and teaching. It's the personal. The personal Bible reading. Personal Bible study. In chapter 2, 1 through 9, we'll read a couple of verses there. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." I'll tell you what, I've never been to literal flames of hell, but I've had my life was like hell when I called on Jesus Christ, and you know what he heard? He heard my voice. We seen God's will, God's word, God's man, God's storm, God's chastening, and now we see God's ear. When God gets a hold of you and God makes it personal and you're still breathing his air and you call out to him, he hears you. Praise God. You get to a point with people, and sometimes rightfully so, you get to the point where you cut ties and say, I'm done, I'm not listening anymore. And sometimes it gets so far down the road, somebody will come back to you, or you could go back to somebody else, and they'd say, I'm done with you, I'm not talking to you ever again. But God says if you repent, he'll hear you. If you're out of God's will and you turn back to him, God's ear, he hears the prayers of his people. Praise God. Here Jonah is in an impossible situation. You say, well, it's impossible that he was in that well. No, it's not impossible he's in that well, but if you look, he's in that well. It's impossible he's going to get out. It's impossible he's ever going to go to Nineveh. As man sees it, there's no way you're going to look at that and say, oh, he'll be out in a few days, he's going to go to Nineveh. But he called, hey, with men it's impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. He calls on God, God hears him, and God blesses him. See God's response. Look at verse 10 of chapter number 2. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God's response, when Jonah was convicted and admitted that he was wrong and called out to God, God forgave him and put him right back on track. He said, well, you don't understand the mess. I've had people tell me, you say, yeah, I'm saved, but I'm not in God's will anymore. I haven't been in church for years. I haven't read my Bible in years. I got caught up in this, I got caught up in that, I got caught up in the other thing, and you don't understand my mess. Well, you don't understand your God. Amen? He specializes in fixing messes. Amen? And turning messes into miracles. But his response was not only to forgive Jonah, to put him back on track. Remember, it was a great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah made it in a day's journey. He said, well, it looks impossible. I'm never going to get back there. And God said, I'll put you back here. Sometimes folks get out of God's will, and the devil says, you're done, you're through, it's over, you're never going back. Oh, you're going to heaven, but you'll never be of use to God again. You're never of any use to anybody. You're just a hindrance to the cause of Christ. You might as well just die. And God says, no, I'll put you back on track. Not only that, you think you can't get back there, I'll put you back there quicker than you think. I'll put you back in service quicker than you think. Amen? God's response was to put Jonah right back in business for God. In 6 through 9, Nineveh gets right. We see God's convicting power. Preach that to Nineveh, and Nineveh got right. You know what Jonah didn't do? He didn't go to Nineveh and say, you know what, I'm just going to integrate with Nineveh and hang out there. He didn't go to Nineveh and say, you know, God says you're doing wicked things, but he's willing to meet you halfway. Maybe if you'll quit this sin, he'll overlook that one. Maybe if you'll just kind of get halfway closer to God, he'll deal with that. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, hey, Nineveh, God's God of love. Love, 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 love. Everybody's all right. Love, love, love. You're all going to be good. Love, love. He didn't preach that message that a lot of these people are preaching today about their fake God. He didn't go to Nineveh and say, you know what, God's a little bit upset, but I think we can work through this thing. He told Nineveh, he said, hey, 40 days, this place is going to be overthrown. You know what God wants us to preach? Coming judgment to a lost and dying world. Because, hey, I don't know if it's 40 days or not, but one of these days, this place is going to burn up. One of these days, the folks in it that aren't saved are going to be cast in a lake of fire forever. And if these people that are running around preaching love, 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 can't we just hook elbows and sing Kumbaya, are wicked. Jonah was a bad guy out of God's will. God get him back in his will, and he preached the truth. He didn't preach some form of the truth. He preached it straight, just the way God said to preach it. Amen? You know what God says? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says over there in Revelation, those not found written in the book of life be cast into the lake of fire forever. Well, it's not literal. Well, that's wicked. That's wicked. I'm telling you, we become soft. We are so integrated into this world that we forgot what real preaching is. Most people want to go to church and they want to hear about a little lamb that came to hug on children and it's going to come back maybe and rule and reign, but they don't want to hear the fact that he's going to judge. They don't want to hear the fact that he's going to cast people into a lake of fire forever. They don't want to hear the fact that you're supposed to walk right with God. Everybody wants to be, picking, well, you're a legalist. Let me ask you this. Would you rather be maybe a little more right than God expected, or way more wrong than God expected? Amen. Get rid of the gray areas and find the line and draw it in your life and don't go on the other side of it. Amen. So why just think God will forgive this? God doesn't have to forgive that. I think he'll accept it. You just don't understand God. God made us that way. No, the only thing God made was a perfect creation, and the creation's tainted by sin, and everybody's born with a sin nature. It is a genetic problem, come from Adam. But he don't pick boys to be girls and girls to be boys, and he don't pick people to be axe murderers, he don't pick people to be carjackers, he don't pick people to be cocaine addicts. That's not God's will. That is out of God's will. And to preach it, hey, if you preach one of them's God's will, then it's all God's will. Where do you draw the line? You draw the line on the right side, on the side of truth. Amen? That convicting power of God. If Jonah would have went in there and said, oh, you know, love, 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 40 days that place would have burnt to the ground. That'd have been done. It'd have been overthrown. It'd have been toast. But God forgave him. How is God going to forgive a people that don't hear the truth, that aren't convicted by his word, that don't repent and turn to him? How is he going to save that people? He's not. He's not. God's word, God's will, God's man, God's storm, God's chastening, individual personal chastening, God's ear. He heard Jonah when he cried out. God's response, he put Jonah back on track, put him right back in business for him. He goes to Nineveh, preaches the truth. They're convicted. The king says, boy, everybody getting sackcloth and ashes. We're going to get this thing right. And God sees that. He's seen their works. You know what he sees when he looks at us? He sees your works. Oh, he hears your voice. He says, with their lips, they draw nigh to me. With their heart, they're far from me. Amen? But he saw their works. They didn't just say, all right, Jonah, we'll get right. They got right. Amen? Look at verse 10, chapter 3. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them. And he did it not. We see God's goal. You know what his goal is? Boy, his goal is just to throw everybody in hell that doesn't trust Christ. No, his goal is to show mercy. His goal is to show people that he's a long-suffering and merciful and gracious God so that people will worship him. His goal is not to see people destroyed. And his goal is not to overlook and gloss over and accept sin. His goal is to show mercy and for people to repent. You realize he showed mercy to Jonah, and we know from what we just read in verse number 2 of chapter 4 that Jonah knew God was gracious. He knew God was merciful. He knew God was slow to anger. He knew he was of great kindness. And he knew God would repent of the evil, because before God called him to Nineveh, God had been all those things to Jonah. So he knew, we know that he showed mercy to Jonah. And then when he's on the ship, out of God's will, the storm comes, it looks like the ship's going to break apart, he's still showing mercy to those guys, because all God had to do was go, and that ship was gone, and everybody on it. But even in his storms, he shows mercy. And then in his chastening of Jonah, he showed mercy again. Amen. And then you come down through here, and Nineveh gets right. Nineveh repents, and God shows them mercy. Why would God have ever sent Jonah to Nineveh if he didn't want them to get right, and he didn't want to show mercy to them? He was already judging them. He said, look, 40 days, I'm done with you. He gave them a chance. You know what he always does when we get out of his will? Give you a chance. He give you a chance. He doesn't promise you 40 days. He doesn't promise you 40 seconds. He just tells you when you're convicted, you've got a chance. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a redeemer. He bought Jonah back that time, put him back on track. That 3 days journey, he shortened that time up. Hey, God can do that. People go, there's an error in that Bible. No, there's an error in your thought process on God. God stopped time once. Hey, guess what? God started time. And one of these days, he's going to end it. You know, people talk about Father Time, and they'll joke about, you know, all that stuff. And the truth is, you start giving them truth, and they go, well, that couldn't happen that way. No, you know, slime can turn into amoeba, that can turn into a monkey, that can turn into a scientist. But God couldn't get Jonah 3 days down the road in a day. I'll keep my God, thank you. My God did that. Amen. His goal is mercy. How shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. I'm telling you that because I realize on a daily basis how weak we have become as Christians. What a sad excuse of witnessing we do a lot of times. I don't want to go the other extreme like Peter Cartwright and drag people off their horses and beat them until they say they're saved. But we need to find a middle. We need to find that moderation. That part where we can look at somebody and say, no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's saved from hell. That's a literal fire. And be able to show them in Revelation where it says they're cast in a lake of fire forever. And the only way to avoid that is by realizing you're a sinner. Realizing Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and calling on him. I've got a Bible. You have a Bible. We don't have to believe it because Kenneth Copeland believes it, or Joyce Myers believes it, or the preacher down the street believes it. And don't believe it just because I believe it. You got a Bible. Believe it because God said it. Amen? Hey, look. Most of us in here have more behind us than we have ahead of us walking through this world, by far. My wife said, I think you're still going through, or you're going through a midlife crisis. I said, well, if this is midlife, I'm going to be in trouble because I'll be a crippled up mess at 105 or whatever. Amen? I'm past midlife, amen? But I'm also headed for the judgment seat of Christ, and so are you. We're not worthy of anything. He just gives us. He's merciful and gracious to us. But he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy for us to have something pass through that fire at the judgment seat of Christ that we can say, Lord, this belongs to you. Because if it wasn't for your blood, if it wasn't for your righteousness, if it wasn't for your word, if it wasn't for your mercy, for your grace, you being a long-suffering God, if it wasn't for you, there'd be nothing. Is he worth it to you? And look, I don't want everybody to run out here and say, well, the preacher says we're going to go run and tell everybody right now, we've got to knock on doors and say, you're going to hell, sinner. But I'm saying don't compromise the truth. If they get upset, maybe that's what God wants. I've been upset before when I was out of God's will. You ever been upset, be out of God's will, and be upset because you know you're out of God's will, somebody pointed out? Hey, God will point it out sometimes and it upsets me. Amen? But it's supposed to. It should upset somebody that they're going to hell. And it should. Hey, everybody has pride issues. It's going to be, you're going to get a response every now and again where like, well, who are you to tell me? Hey, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm nobody. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. This place is a wilderness. But you got to be a combination of Jonah and John the Baptist today. Amen? You know what John the Baptist had? He had the truth and he had some grit. I don't know about Jonah. I can see what Jonah, Jonah finally got right. But there wasn't nobody going to go up to John the Baptist and go, you get out of here. This is the rainbow crowd. We didn't listen to you. John the Baptist would have said, you're wicked. That's against what God says. And he'd have quoted scripture to him and he'd said, you don't turn, you're going to burn forever. Repent. Amen. Not for the kingdom of heaven in his hand, but because repent or you're going to burn in hell forever. You got to do the same thing I had to do to get saved. I told a guy that the other day. He was looking at me. I said, you're a sinner, and you got to do the same thing I had to do to get saved. We all have to do the same. We're all sinners. So when I told him he's a sinner, he kind of like, boy, you're surprised. I said, just like me. I said, you get to heaven the same way I'm getting to heaven. You're going to have to call on Jesus Christ. Amen? God allowed me to put the brakes on at the right time because maybe I was overdoing a little bit at the timing. But when God says go, go. Amen. If you have relatives that are going to burn in hell that don't believe the Bible, get them scripture. Amen. Say, well, they might not like me anymore. They might quit coming to family reunions. Well, they ain't going to be no family reunions in hell. And at the white throne judgment, they're not going to be going, well, they sure were a great grandma, grandpa, aunt, and uncle, or cousin, or a relative. They're going to be going, man, I wish they had kept talking to me about Jesus Christ. Amen? I'd rather have them mad at me now than mad at me then. Because then it's too late. God's word, God's will, God's man, God's storm, God's chastening, God's ear, God's response, God's convicting power, God's goal, and God's goal is to dole out the mercy. We have a loving God. And he wants to give out mercy. That's why this place is still existing. Because God is long-suffering and merciful. But that will pass. This time will pass. And judgment is coming. And what are we doing as a church to steal people out of the mouth of the lion and to stop them from burning in hell? Give them the truth. I'm thankful that we have the postcard ministry, but that does not replace our witnessing. It's just another part of it. What I'm telling you is be very careful and don't get all caught up into the lovey, lovey, love stuff and just at the expense of the truth. Give the truth in love, and sometimes it's tough love. Give them the truth. Father, we sure love you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples you give us in this book, Lord. You are a merciful, long-suffering God. You've shown that to me many times. I believe everybody in here could testify to that. And we thank you and we praise you for who you are and ask for your mercy and grace on this church that you'd breathe on it and use us to see souls saved and lives changed for your honor and your glory. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.